This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
What a night indeed. It's Christian Arcan here, Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us here today. We'll be joined by Sean McAdam at 11. We'll get his take from Mass Live on the Red Sox and the Dodgers. Rubber match coming your way right here on Sports Radio WEEI. We are Boston Sports Original, and keep it right here all day long as the rubber match of this great series here between the Red Sox and the Dodgers, which saw the Sox double them up yesterday in a crochet day. 4-2 your final score, and listen, that was about as fun of an ending as there's been, and there's been a lot of fun endings this year. The Sedan Rafaela walk-off, just recently, that crazy game, the last game, 2 days ago, they played against the Phillies with that Narvaez home run. There's been some good stuff lately, but I got to tell you, I have a mea culpa to make, and this is months in the making, and I say this still sort of believing what I meant at the time, but I have to acknowledge now that what I said was just wrong. And I don't do this often because I'm very rarely wrong. But in this case, I'm gonna have to put it all on the table here. When the Red Sox and Craig Breslow rushed out this offseason to sign Aroldis Chapman, I thought that was a bad, bad omen. I thought that was the type of move that you make because you're trying to show your fans that you really care. You know, Kenley Jansen left, and we're going to go get that closer, but he wasn't even really going to be the closer. That could have been Liam Hendricks, or it could have been Justin Slayton. We weren't even really sure, but we wanted Chapman in the bullpen, needed that power lefty. And I said at the time, I can't believe this, I said at the time, why not just keep Cam Boozer? Why would you go out and sign someone who's older, someone who is more expensive, and someone who last season, and if you go back and look at their seasons, a Chapman season and Boozer season, Boozer had a better season. Cam Boozer did. And he's a power lefty. And not only that, I like the Cam Boozer story, too. I like that there was this 32-year-old guy in the independent league, and he finally got his break and was there with the Woo Sox and then got a call-up and pitched well in the majors, and now he's a major league pitcher. Like, I thought that whole story was a really great story. And maybe that clouded my judgment a little bit, because my take at the time was, why sign Chapman when you have Cam Boozer? And Aroldis Chapman, I mean, listen, what can you possibly say about Aroldis Chapman? This is the best he's looked in a decade. He looks like a completely re-energized player. The guy who was walking a million people, although we have, since the All-Star break, seen the walks tick up a little bit. Not to the point where it's been a problem, but something I am keeping an eye on. He had a walk last night. But that at-bat, him and Mookie, the at-bat of him and Rafael Devers earlier on in the year, it's crazy to me. Isn't it crazy how two of the biggest at-bats this year was Aroldis Chapman on the Red Sox pitching to Rafael Devers on the Giants, and then the other one may have just been Chapman pitching to Mookie Betts? who came on to pinch hit last night for the number nine hitter in that game. He was he came in for Kim and pinch hit there with a runner on. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is an opportunity for Mookie Betts, and he could have only tied the game. He couldn't have taken the lead. But if Mookie Betts hit a home run there and tied the game, I think the Red Sox season would have been over right there. I don't think they would have played a game today, obviously. You still got to play the games. But if Mookie tied it up and then the Dodgers won that game, then I think you could have put this season in the ground. You could have buried it, said a little prayer, thrown a couple roses in the hole, and that would have been that. it would have been over. I don't know how you come back from that. And instead, Chapman got him 0-2, threw him three straight balls, and then got him looking on a 99-mile-an-hour heater right there on the outside edge of the plate. And, oh, it was just chef's kiss. It was beautiful. Aroldis Chapman and Garrett Crochet, who also pitched in that game, although did not have his best stuff. He still struck out 10 batters, but a lot of hits, couple of walks, didn't feel like he was in command of the game like he generally is. And listen, you're going up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. You're going up against Ohtani, Smith, Hernandez, Freeman, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, that's a little different from Ref Snyder, Bregman, Anthony, Romy, which is what the Red Sox were trotting out there. Which is not to say that I think the Red Sox roster is lousy, or that, you know, Alex Cora hasn't done a good job of mixing and matching different platoon players when it comes to matchups, lefties, righties, certain stats, whatever. I'm not going to pretend like I know everything that goes into that, because I don't, and I don't want to. Honestly, I don't. It's beyond me. But there is no doubt at this point in my mind that the Red Sox, as badly as they need a starting pitcher, need to do something for this offense. Because while a win over the Dodgers is nice in any form you can get it, this is a team that suddenly cannot score runs. They are having a brutal time plating runs against good pitching, sure, mostly. Emmett Sheehan is not a great pitcher. Clayton Kershaw and his 90-mile-an-hour fastball, which, my God, Clayton Kershaw is not a great pitcher anymore. He was. I mean, he was the great best pitcher in the league for a few years there. But he's now a shell of his former self, trying to reach, you know, various milestones before he retires. And good for him, you know, go ahead and do that. But if you're the Red Sox, that's a guy you should be scoring runs off of. And they did, in fairness. I mean, they had the three-run second inning, plated another one in the fifth. Jaron Duran was an absolute menace out there, which has me thinking, and we'll talk more about Jaron Duran later on in the show. But the Duran stuff right now, I feel like that narrative and that dialogue has basically reached the fever pitch. Jaron Duran, if he gets traded, I think you should be asking a lot for him. And according to Sean McAdam, who we're going to speak to in about 8 minutes here, the Padres have been asking for Jaron Duran, and they made a pretty substantial offer that the Red Sox were very quick to reject. Now, there's been some alternative reporting on this from the Boston Globe, saying that that offer was never made and that Jaron Duran is not even on the trade block, period. And if you want to believe, if you choose to believe that, then there's clearly some mixed messages going on here. I just sort of look at these two things, at these two statements that were made. One of them was that the Red Sox are shopping Duran, but they didn't get an offer that they liked, or they are holding out for a better offer. The other one is that Duran's not on the block at all, and they don't intend to trade him, and they're not talking to anybody at all. And between those two statements, the first one sounds more true to me, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound more true to you that the Red Sox absolutely are looking to trade, and they're making phone calls, and they're putting up the front of being aggressive and trying to get something done here, but they just can't quite find the right deal. They just can't. The computer's not spitting out anything that makes sense for them in terms of market efficiency or money or whatever else it is that goes into that stupid freaking algorithm that's been so prohibitive for this team making deals at the deadline. That sounds more accurate to me. If it's between one or the other. If the other option is Duran is not on the listen, I'm sure that makes a lot of fans happy. There's a lot of fans of Jaron Duran out there. You heard them loud and proud last night. You also heard a lot of loud and proud Dodgers fans last night, to the point where Alex Cora is up there after the game going, "Where is everybody? What's going on?" I've never heard anything like that before. And honestly, I was watching the game and listening to it. I didn't notice that they were that loud. I guess maybe I was just, it didn't register with me like it would be for people who were there or on the field or anything. But I was hoping that this wouldn't go this way. I was hoping that this series would not be another Dodger fan takeover, and looks like it is. So, Red Sox fans, if you're on your way in there, if you're on your way to the game today, don't let those Dodgers fans drown you out in a game that you won last night. You won like you play. Let the Red Sox won last night. Let them know. Let them know whose house it is. Because this is silly. What, are these people going to fly across the country every single year and humiliate us in our own park? Come on. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Aroldis Chapman being the first free agent signing that Craig Breslow made, and one that he rushed out to go and do. He wanted to make sure that he got Chapman and no one else did. And at the time, I thought, why not just keep Cam Boozer, which I know, embarrassing. But even more so than that, he picked up the maybe number one free agent signing of the entire, like Juan Soto. Juan Soto is not performing like Aroldis Chapman. Is anybody in the league that signed this offseason and is playing for a new team playing at the level of Aroldis Chapman? I don't think so. I don't think there is. He may be the best free agent signing that there was all year by anybody. He's the top closer in baseball. And he went out there and slammed the door again. And listen, I know I'm saying this all within not even a week of him giving up that home run to JT Realmuto, which they did end up winning the game. And he did have to go four innings starting in the seventh. And then pitched the entire eighth, and Realmuto ended up getting them, but they came back and won the game, so I'm not going to dwell on it too much. I will say this, though. I'm noticing, and everybody should be noticing, that Chapman, as great as he is, does have a bit of a pattern. And that pattern tends to start waning a little bit and fading out in the latter half of the season lately. Now, he hasn't pitched this well in the first two-thirds of the year in a long time. So maybe that's all out the window. Maybe we're all just sort of, you know, just need to enjoy the ride here. That's what I'm trying to do. But I am wary. You know, I am wary about averages and falling back to the mean and sort of all that other stuff. But for now, I am enjoying the Aroldis Chapman experience on the field anyway, way more than I was ever expecting to. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will be joined by Sean McAdam of Mass Live, and we'll get his take on the trade deadline, the trade market, market inefficiencies, and exactly what the hell is going on here with Jarren Duran. Is he available? Is he not? What do they want for him? Are they even going to trade him? That's all coming up next. Sean McAdam joins us right after this. All right, 11 o'clock here, just a little after. It's Christian Arcan. Sunday Mass, we got Red Sox baseball coming your way. Pre-game, Mass Mutual pre-game show coming in about an hour and a half. But joining us right now here on the hotline is one of my favorite Red Sox, one of my favorite sports writers, period, out there in the world for Mass Live. Sean McAdam joins the show here on this Sunday. Mr. McAdam, how are we doing today?
Very well, Christian. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always good to talk with you, and especially now that we have less than a week, 5 days really, until this trade deadline, and things heating up already. We got source-offs going on left and right. So let's go ahead and start with your report on Jarren Duran, which was an eye-opening one, certainly if you're looking for a window into the psyche of Craig Breslow and this Red Sox front office. It seems like the Padres, who, according to many reports, not just you, but lots of people reporting that the Padres very hot on the trail of Jarren Duran, and it looks like the Red Sox are charging a pretty hard bargain for him.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that they, while eventually they're going to have to solve this extra outfielder issue where you have Duran and Abreu and Rafaela and Anthony, and four into three doesn't go, particularly with Yoshida as your mostly everyday DH and Rex Snyder filling in a little bit against lefties, they're going to have to take care of that excess at some point. But it seems pretty obvious now that they would prefer to do that in the off season when you have a little bit of more runway and you're not doing something in the middle of the year and trying to make all the pieces fit. And I think that's probably they've probably doubled down on that with the injury to Marcelo Meyer. Because that means at least some point you've got Rafaela moving into the infield to play second base, and then all of a sudden you don't have too many outfielders. So what seemed like excess at the position a few weeks ago and had led to a lot of speculation that Duran might go There is interest in him. A.J. Preller has made him his white whale, and it's the guy that he's been after for some time. He's trying to get creative. I wrote this past week that the Padres had offered a package that included Dylan Cease and top catching prospect Ethan Salas and one more, and that the Red Sox had rejected that. There's been some pushback on other outlets that offer wasn't made as constituted or as I reported. I can tell you that I'm pretty confident in my source who told me that. And in any event, the Red Sox said no and have made it clear, I think, to teams that either they're setting a very, very high bar and no one has met it, or they're not interested in dealing Durant at all right now.
Interesting. And as far as that bar is concerned, Sean, Jaren Duran, as we all know, is not having an MVP-type season this year. He's having kind of an ordinary season. You would consider this kind of selling low on him, wouldn't you? Like, if you can get a starting pitcher, a catching prospect, which they desperately need, and another prospect, I forget what the other prospect was, but like, if you wait till the offseason, do they expect to get a better offer than that for a player like Jaren Duran?
Well, I think the selling point here, Christian, is that there are, you know, you look back on 24 and see the kind of season Duran is capable of. For whatever reason, he hasn't matched that yet, although a few more nights like last night could change that narrative, certainly. And he is a streaky player, always has been. And maybe they're thinking that in addition to not having that urgency to move him because of the situation I spelled out a little while ago with Meyer out and Rafaela going into the infield, that it isn't as crowded as it was a couple of, as recently as a week ago. Maybe their thinking is that Duran rebuilds some value here down the stretch and in the meantime helps the Red Sox on their playoff drive and maybe even into October. But I think what you have to look at in terms of his value on the market, whether it be now or sometime in the off season, is that he's got 3 years of control left. That's a long time in baseball in 2025. I mean, teams are willing to take on players who only have a year and change left, sometimes even a rental and overpay there, to get 3 years of control of a guy who can be athletic and has shown, at least at some point, that he can be a real dynamic difference maker. There's still a lot of value attached to Jaren Duran, even if it might have fallen off here as we speak.
And he certainly was dynamic last night. Two triples and a double. He was huge in that game last night. And in some ways, you could say maybe pumping up his value here and maybe prompting a team like the Padres to up their offer. Either way, you look at a team like the Padres who's still competing, Sean, and at the trade deadline, generally, it's the haves and the have-nots sort of working with each other. It's rare that you see two teams in contention making big swaps like this, but in this case, you know, the Padres have a need. The Red Sox have a need. It did sort of seem a little too good to be true when they first reported on this, but I guess the question is, if they move on from Duran, is there still urgency to try and repair or abut, I would say, this pitching staff?
Yeah, I think that that has always been the primary goal here, to find starting pitching help, whether that's somebody near the top of the rotation, which obviously would be a very expensive acquisition if you're talking somebody like Joe Ryan. There seems to be some uncertainty over the Twins' path in recent days, whether they're going to buy or sell. But to get a pitcher of that caliber with a couple of years of control is going to have a massive acquisition cost. But even if they don't upgrade near the top, even if they don't go get a number two starter who they could control for a few years like Ryan, thinning out of the Red Sox depth in the rotation makes it important for them to get some kind of reinforcements in the rotation, because all the options you think or you thought you might have access to in the second half of the season, guys like Cutter Crawford, Hunter Dobbins, some questions about Tanner Houck now and whether he's going to return and contribute. Patrick Sandoval, who you kind of had in your back pocket and thought, well, maybe the final 6 weeks is a pretty good lefty to add. Now all those guys are off the table definitively, except for Houck, and frankly, the calendar's starting to work against him now that he's on a no-throw and time is going by where he'd have to ramp back up again. I mean, that's a lot of talent that you thought might contribute that you now know will not. So even if they can't get somebody near the top of the rotation, a number two or even number three guy, they need some options in the back to provide some depth, because that's really kind of slipped away from them with all these injuries. And if you have something happen to Bayo or Buehler or Giolito or Fitz, you don't have a lot of other options to turn to. So I think in terms of impact guys, they're really focused on starting pitching and the bullpen. And it kind of goes without saying that every team of any playoff aspirations is looking for bullpen help. They could also use another bat, and somebody like Yandy Diaz's name has been out there. My colleague Chris Cotillo reported on that earlier this week, that Diaz could be a target if Tampa Bay sells. There's now evidence to suggest they're thinking about that. So that would be an upgrade, another right-handed bat with some pop who could move into a position where they haven't gotten a lot of offense lately, especially with the struggles of Abraham Toro in the last month.
Yeah, and listen, I'd love Yandy Diaz. That would be great. You mentioned the Marcelo Meyer injury. We know that Bregman is not moving his best around the bases, certainly, although he did score from second yesterday. But he doesn't look right running out there. You're seeing other teams in the playoff race with you right now. The two other wildcard teams, the Yankees and the Mariners, have both made moves for bats. Ahmed Rosario, Ryan McMahon, Naylor, mostly rentals here, but guys that can help them down the stretch. Are the Red Sox willing to maybe do something like that for a rental player here?
Yeah, I think so. You know, if they were able to do something with Diaz, he has an affordable option for next year that they could either pick up or not. There's some question, obviously, about Tristan Casas's future. Mm-hmm. That was a significant knee injury. That isn't simply an ACL repair. That was far more serious than that. There's no guarantee he's ready for opening day next year. Frankly, there's no guarantee that he ever rebounds 100% given the severity of that injury. You don't see that a lot in baseball. It's more of a lineman in football kind of injury that happens. So, you know, they don't have a lot of options within the system at first base. It's not as if, despite the fact that the minor league system has churned out some top players with like Meyer and Anthony and Rafael and others in recent years, there's nobody on the horizon at first. So they could certainly use Diaz for another year as some depth. You could always move him again over the winter or next year if you were confident that Casas was ready. So I think they see that as something they'd like to upgrade, but I get the distinct feeling that most of their energy is focused on the pitching staff. I think they believe they could live with some combination of Romy Gonzalez and others at first the rest of the way, particularly when you see how some of the other guys are coming along, like Anthony. Rafaela has had a strong last couple of months, obviously. I don't think they're as worried about the production there as they may have been a month ago, but it's still something they would entertain an upgrade for. I just think pitching has been and should be the bigger priority, both the rotation and finding another eighth inning guy to go with Garrett Whitlock.
Yeah, Ed, listen, I have no argument there except to say this. In these games here since the break, the offense has really gone in the tank. I mean, you're seeing they're good, two runs a game. That four-run explosion last night seemed like a significant one. And I know they had that game they won against the Phillies where they scored all those runs. But in general, it's been tough sledding here against admittedly very good pitching. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think you have to take into consideration that they're matched up against some of the better teams in the game between the Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers. And some of that is reflected in the depressed offensive output. But you're right. There's no getting away from the fact that the offense has been shut down since the break, and that has to be at least of some concern.
Yeah, and if you get to the playoffs, I mean, you're going to be facing good teams. You're going to be facing good pitchers.
Right.
It is one of those things that you sort of look at. Now, when you talk about their belief in guys like Romy Gonzalez and Toro and Ref Snyder and sort of the platoons that they have going on right now, I think it was Passan said that, you know, if they don't do anything, it'll be a testament to their comfort and belief in these players. Would you say it's more of that or more of the market's not right and we don't feel it's a good time to upgrade? Like, which one of those factors do you think plays a bigger role here?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, that the current crop of guys has gotten them into the playoff mix. Certainly Gonzalez has been a key contributor in what he's been able to bring, both with improved play at first and some production, especially against left-handed pitching. I just think, you know, there's only so much trade capital that you have before you start making moves that are going to affect you in the future. And if you've identified, you know, three or four or five guys in your system, I did the other day for Mass Live, I listed some prospects that they'd be probably willing to move or have some redundancy that would allow them to free up some guys. But you don't want to strip mine your system to go get a bunch of rentals for a couple of months. So when you only have so much to give up, I think you naturally start to prioritize what it is you most need. And I think they have correctly come to the conclusion that given the choice between going out and getting another bat that could help out at first or upgrading both the rotation and the bullpen, they're going to focus more squarely on pitching, which I think is as it should be.
Yeah, and listen, I hope they land someone that can help them, but based on what you're saying and other reports, it sounds like we're headed for a bit of a dud here, you know? Like, that's kind of what I'm hearing. It sounds like if you were expecting some kind of big move, if you were expecting a frontline starter or a real, you know, a real big-name closer, something like that, it just doesn't seem like that's in the cards. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of that is driven by, you know, the parity we see in the game, the sheer number of teams who go from, you know, three or four games under 500 to five, six, or seven over 500. There's probably eight or nine teams in that class, and the introduction of the third wild card team has everybody believing, well, if we're just hanging around at 500 at Labor Day, by definition, we're in this. So when you have 20 teams who think they have a shot and only seven or eight who realize they're completely out of it, the supply and demand exercise gets upended and you don't have a lot of movement.
That is the voice of Sean McAdam. Sean, great to talk with you. Great stuff as always, and we'll be in touch soon, I'm sure, as we get closer to this trade deadline.
Sounds good, Christian. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That is Sean McAdam, Mass Live, joining us here. Great stuff from him, getting into the psyche of the Red Sox front office as we get closer and closer to the deadline. A deadline that I'm worried. It's not that I was feeling great about it before Sean came on. You know, if you read what Jeff Passan wrote the other day, hearing what Alex Spear had to say, I mean, it's not. You're getting prepped. You're getting prepped and primed for a dud of a trade deadline, and that is gonna be tough to stomach, I think, Red Sox fans. It's gonna be tough for me to stomach, not just from a material standpoint. And when I say material, I mean material for the show, things to talk about on the air. In terms of this team's philosophy, the belief that I think a lot of us had that this year was going to be different and they were going to, you know, at certain points, and if it seemed necessary, throw caution to the wind when it came to the trade deadline, when it came to spending, when it came to prospect capital, all of that stuff. And it seemed like, you know, this was that kind of year based on the offseason. Chapman, money, Garrett Crochet, prospects and money, they extended them. And Alex Bregman is a $40 million player this year. Those were all indicators to me that this was going to be a different type of season. That the various points here when it comes to the market and its efficiencies and inefficiency and all that crap, that was going to take a back seat to winning and doing what it takes to put a winner on the field this year, even if it's just, you know, a rental for the rest of the season. Because listen, what's the main thing that sunk this team the last 3 years? Going back, not the Schwarber year, but the 3 years after that, 22, 23, and 24. You remember how August and September went in those years. You remember how they didn't do anything at the deadline, anything of note, and how the team just collapsed. And it happened under Alex Cora. Alex Cora voiced his displeasure about it, as did players on the team at the time, like Xander Bogaerts, like Rafael Devers, neither of whom are here anymore. But, you know, Alex Cora is still here. And even if you're not going to hear people publicly squawking about it, you know, if they come and go, if this deadline comes and goes and they don't do much, they, you know, sign a couple of random relievers no one's ever heard of and a backup catcher who's, you know, hitting 210. Then that's going to have that same kind of effect. I don't care. You could have a million Alex Bregmans in there. Oh, Alex Bregman won't let it happen. Yes, he will. It's not about him. It's not about one guy. It's about that entire team. And if that entire team feels abandoned by their front office and feels let down, and they're in the second half and they're going through August and September and they're struggling, it's not going to be, you know, we've seen it before. We've seen it for three straight years. And I'm not sitting here believing that this is going to be anything different. There's no, if they're not going to behave differently, I'm not going to behave differently. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll revisit some other things that Sean had to say there, and we will get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Phone lines are open. I have some more thoughts on the trade deadline. I have some thoughts on Garrett Crochet, Jaren Duran, and we'll preview this game three here, this rubber match, Walker Buehler getting a look at the Dodgers for the first time since coming to the Red Sox. That's all coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Up right after Thomas Crisafulli gets you caught up on what's trending. Jaren Duran, big night for him last night. It's Christian Arcan here, Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us on this Sunday, the 27th of July. A couple of days, Friday, no, not even Friday, Thursday is your trade deadline. Thursday at 4 o'clock is the trade deadline, and that guy you just heard talking right there and who you heard hitting that triple, one of two that he hit, three extra base hits, two triples and a double, big, big night for Jaren Duran. And the reason why I want to talk about Jaren Duran here is because we just talked about him a lot with Sean McAdam, which great stuff there. And the source off with him and Alex Spear I think is interesting. We'll get to that in just a little bit too. But Duran. Interesting kind of case right now with Jaren Duran. And it's interesting because, like we were discussing, when you get to the trade deadline in 2025 in Major League Baseball, there's 20 teams that think they're still alive. there's 20 teams that believe that they still are in the mix, and there's only a few teams, a handful of teams, that are aware that they're out of it and are looking to sell. It used to be very different. It used to be very, very different. Now, there were teams maybe that didn't want to sell off because they had young players and they were in a rebuild year or something along those lines. But sometimes there's just bad teams who have an overpriced player or two that they're ready to move on from and restart and have some financial flexibility and sort of all that other stuff. Which, by the way, not for nothing. When I hear financial flexibility and talk of, well, you know, trading Devers was great because now we have all this great financial flexibility, I get so mad. I get so annoyed because that's small market bullcrap team stuff. That's not Red Sox. That's not what the Red Sox worry about. It's not what the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees and the Phillies and these other big market teams, Chicago. They're not worried about stuff like that. They're not worried about their financial flexibility because they are operating in a different way than the Red Sox. And Passan said it the other day. You know, they want to be a big market team, but they are operating like a big market team in a funhouse mirror. That's what they do. They act like a big market team. They set very stringent parameters for themselves, financial budgetary restraints that other big market teams don't have. Or certainly if they have them, they don't stick to them like glue like the Red Sox do. And that becomes the chief decision maker. And that's unfair to Craig Breslow, I think. And it was unfair to Chaim Bloom a little bit. But Chaim Bloom took all sorts of crap. And he made mistakes. It's not like he was perfect. But Chaim Bloom took all sorts of crap for stuff that wasn't really his fault. It was the fault of restrictions in the budget and what his marching orders were. You think he wanted to come to the Red Sox and trade Mookie Betts right away? First thing on the agenda? You want to go out there? Hey, welcome to Boston, Chaim. Can you go trade Mookie Betts and just take whatever for him? Because, you know, we waited too long to do this, and we also shouldn't be doing it, period. I don't think he wanted to do that. I think Craig Breslow's probably wanted to have an offseason like this or, you know, last year. I would not be shocked. But he wasn't given permission to. He now has permission to, and he had a great offseason. But that's not enough. And if you need any further evidence that it's not enough, look around. The Mariners made a trade, and it wasn't a big one. Josh Naylor is a rental player, but he's an established power hitter in the American League, and all it took for them to get him was their 13th best prospect and their 16th best prospect. And that got you a 2 months of Josh Naylor, and now you can re-sign him, too, if you want to. You have the ability to get first crack at that if that's something you want to pursue beyond just this season. The New York Yankees, couple of prospects, not I think it was number 8 and number 20, to get Ryan McMahon. Ahmed Rosario, traded to the Yankees today. And is he a great player? No, but he's an upgrade. He's a guy that can help them. He's a guy who can hit for power. And the Yankees are not waiting around. And they're not concerned about the inefficiencies of the market. It's just, you know, like, and that's not to say the Red Sox need to start operating like the Yankees or the Mariners, for God's sake. But can you start operating like a big market team and stop caring so much about market inefficiencies and, you know, not getting over on the trade and maybe, you know, you give up a little too much to help you at this point? That's the way it works in 2025. That's the way it works. And I feel like they have such a unique opportunity here with the Padres that I'm kind of astonished that they're passing on it. And that's, you know, McAdams' report, which is that the Red Sox quickly rejected a trade, an offer from the Padres that would have sent Dylan Cease, who I don't love, but he's a starting pitcher, catching prospect Ethan Salas and another prospect, and that the Red Sox rejected it before they even got the whole thing out of their mouth, and said no way. John Heyman reported the Red Sox are probably not going to deal Duran at all, and then Alex Speer yesterday reports that offer was never made. The Cease, Salas, and the other prospect, that offer wasn't made, and that the Red Sox have told everybody that Jaren Duran is not on the table. Couple of things here. I don't believe that Sean McAdam would make up a trade offer like that. I do not think that that's what happened. I think that they have been talking for a while. If you believe any of the reports that the Padres have been hot after Jaren Duran, then you have to imagine that there were some phone calls. You have to imagine that there was some dialogue. And that dialogue had to have extended beyond Duran's not on the market, stop calling us, goodbye. Because if that was the case, we would have learned about that weeks ago, right? We would have known that by now. We're still hearing about all this interest. We're hearing about potential trades being offered. We're hearing about all sorts of things. And that's not just one person reporting. I mean, that's been going on for a while now. There's no secret that the Padres have been very openly thirsty for Jaren Duran. So it stands to reason that they would have made some offers here. What doesn't make sense to me is why the Red Sox would turn around and crap all over that offer and easily, quickly reject it. That's the kind of offer that you have to take a little bit more seriously. Again, I'm not a big Dylan Cease fan, but I think those kind of offers are the one. Like, if you're trying to trade for Mitch Keller with the Pirates are a team that sucks. They know they suck. They're going to blow up their roster. They're not going to trade Skeens, but they'll trade probably everybody else. And they know that. And they're comfortable with that, and that's fine. But they're also going to charge the Kings ransom because they suck and they have nothing to lose. Yeah, we want all your best prospects. White Sox last year. We want Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer if you want to make a deal at the deadline. I get it. And that's why you don't want to deal with those type of teams, especially if it's a cost-controlled pitcher. But the Padres aren't that kind of team. The Padres are a team that's competing right now and looking to continue competing and want Jaren Duran to facilitate that. The Pirates don't want anything to do with Jaren Duran. What do the White Sox want with Jaren Duran? What do the Orioles want with Jaren Duran? You know, like those teams, Jaren Duran doesn't make a whole lot of sense for them, even though he's cost-controlled. Yeah, he makes them better, I guess, but he's going to cost you some money. And he's not exactly a guy that's going to turn your team around. Not a bad player to have by any means, but certainly not the type of guy that you're looking for if you're looking to rebuild. He's 28, you know, like it's just that doesn't make the same kind of sense as it would if you're trading with a team like the Padres. So you have a unique opportunity here, and I'm just surprised the Red Sox aren't being more proactive with it. Now, you look at the Meyer injury and the fact that now Sidan Rafaela is playing a lot of second base, and McAdams said this, and he's right. Well, now you don't have that outfield logjam anymore because now Rafaela is an infielder. And when that's the case, then, all right, sure, your logjam isn't quite as pronounced as maybe it was before this injury. But you still need help in your rotation. You still need help at the back end of that bullpen. And quite frankly, you still need help with your offense. This offense, since the All-Star break, has been kind of pathetic. And, you know, you can just keep on marching around like the emperor with no clothes, assuming that, you know, this offense is great and that they didn't just have, you know, 1-2 week stretch of being really good. That no, they're really awesome. And Alex Cora, he's really great at pulling all those strings with Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro and, you know, David Hamilton and everybody, yeah, you know, Ref Snyder and all these outfielders. Cora loves it. He loves having a new roster and a new lineup every single day. Like, I can't imagine he likes that. I can't imagine anybody likes that. The players don't know when they're playing. The managers, you know, getting the lineup from the nerds up there in the front office and trying to make it work, and it's every day with this. Stability, I feel like, would be helpful. But now, you know, they're comfortable. They like their team. They're not gonna go out there and make some crazy trade. Okay, well, all right. Haven't we seen this movie before? Haven't we seen what happens when this team stands pat at the deadline and just, you know, butters everybody up talking the whole time of the months leading into it about how they're going full throttle and they're not going to hesitate and there's all this urgency and blah, 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 blah. And then you finally get there and it's now we really like this team. We really like who we have. We really think that this is the group and, you know, we believe in them and you should too. And it's like, well, then what the hell were you talking about for the last month? Who were you planning on trade? What were you going to upgrade? If you love the team so much, why were you talking about this at such great length, Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow? Why was this, you know, like, was it just to make us people like me shut up for a couple days? Because I got news for you. I got a whole month plus, August and September. And if this team falls out of contention and we're playing out the string while football season starts, there's going to be some comments. There's going to be some things that people have to say about that. And they're not going to be positive. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to Zach, who is in Roslindale. Zach is gone. Excuse me. Let's try Leo in Haverhill. Go ahead, Leo.
Hey, Arcan, what's up?
Leo, what's up?
I mean, you check the pulse of the fan base. You know, Duran, not many people are liking the idea of moving on from Duran. I think he's one of the leaders in the clubhouse. A lot of guys like him. If anything, I'm moving Willier. Yeah, you know, I'm not liking the idea of splitting this group up. You know, they seem to have a lot of camaraderie. Yes, we need starting pitching. Yes, we need a solid first baseman. But I don't know. I think the fan base is going to react differently than how you're suggesting this deadline. I think they do really like this team. It's a very likable team. I don't think people are going to panic. It's not like previous years where they clearly were lacking something. I don't think that's the case. They have guys on the IL coming back in the starting pitching role. They have Harrison down in the minors. I don't think this is time to overreact and overpay. I don't think you want to get rid of Duran, and last night showed you why you wouldn't want to get rid of him.
Leo, listen, you're right. Last night he was terrific. Thanks for the call, Leo. He was very, very good last night. And yeah, I understand. He's popular in that clubhouse, and he's a good player. It's not like he's a bad player. But you have a lot of outfielders. You know, that's the point. Thanks for the call. All right. I thought he was gone. I didn't realize he was still there. And as far as Willier's concerned, Willier is having a better season than Duran. Willier Abreu is right now, I mean, if you're just looking at line items on a stat sheet, Willier Abreu is the superior player. Willier Abreu is better defensively. He's hitting for more power this year. Like, he's better. I mean, that's it. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly what people are looking at. The Padres, I think, are probably a little in love with Duran and what he did the last two seasons and how he was an MVP candidate last year and hoping he can recreate that. And he hasn't been able to do that this year. He hasn't been able to get back to that point this year. Duran hasn't. That was a great game last night, but, you know, the numbers are what they are. He's, if you trade him now, you're technically selling low. But, you know, that's kind of the idea. Now, as far as the fan reaction, I think that depends largely on what you get in return. The fan reaction for trading Rafael Devers was not positive, but then they started winning games and people got okay with it, and then they started losing games. And then, you know, they started losing at first, and then they started winning, and now they're back to losing again. So I feel like that's really what it's all about. If they trade Jarren Duran and they go on a 10-game win streak, the fans will get over it. You know, if they make a deep playoff run after trading Jarren Duran and Dylan Cease is a big part of it, then the fans will absolutely get over it, even though I know they're grown very attached to Jarren Duran. Sure. And the teammates in the clubhouse and all that stuff, absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's baseball. You know, guys get traded. But that's the point. Like, you can say it's a likable team. You can say that the vibes are great and all that stuff, and you're probably right. And I do think they're a likable team. I agree. I like the Wally mask. I think they're, you know, they play for each other. All that stuff's great. But if they fall off in August and September again, like they've done the last 3 years, and that happened in large part because of them standing pat at the deadline while other teams all got better and they just sat there, which it looks like is already starting to happen again. Like, that's the problem. The movie's already started, okay? Like, we're already seeing other teams a week plus before the deadline go out there and make improvements. And it just so happens that they are the two teams that are directly competing with you for the wild card, the Mariners and the Yankees. It's you, Mariners, Yankees, in the wild card. Those are the three wild card teams right now. They're being proactive. You're sitting around, okay? That's my problem. And it's not, they're not even sitting around because they did make a trade. They traded Rafael Devers a month ago, so you know they're willing to make a trade. So far, the only thing that's motivated them to make a trade is to save Devers money. Other than that, there has not been the type of motivation I was hoping to see from this team in this front office. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I see your calls lining up. Hang on. I'll get...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
See you next. Arcan here, Sunday Mass. We're going until 12:30, and then I'll hand things over to Joe Weil in the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then it's Red Sox baseball, Sox and the Dodgers. Yet another rubber match here for this Red Sox team. I felt like maybe we were getting away from those, but no. It will be Walker Buehler. It will be Dustin May, and it will be getting underway at 1:35 right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. And if you're on your way into the game, I don't know. How's the weather down there? I'm not in Boston at the moment, but how's it looking down there, Thomas?
It's not bad. It is currently 72 degrees with a little rain.
Little rain. Okay, yeah, there's a little rain up where I am, too. So I'm wondering, you had some weather Friday for sure. Yesterday was fine. But, yeah, I wonder about this one here today. And I wonder about Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler going up against his old team. A guy who's had a very uneven season so far, but does seem to pick it up for these big games. You know, I think this is probably one he's had marked on his calendar, a guy who always shows up in the World Series. I'm interested in seeing what kind of Walker Buehler we get here in this game, and I'd really like to see the Red Sox bats come to life a little bit here at Fenway after getting, I don't want to say completely stifled, but they did get stifled by Sheehan in the bullpen. And last night I thought Kershaw way too comfortable out there on that mound against the Red Sox. So it'd be nice to see him go out and do something against May. I just want to see these bats roar back to life, even if it's just this one game here. They're about to go to Minnesota on Monday, so, you know, it's not a quick homestand. Although I believe after that Minnesota series, they'll be back for six games against Houston and the Royals, I want to say. So, you know, not the greatest teams. The Royals certainly aren't. Houston's pretty good. But, you know, you have a chance to try and put some more space between you. But really, I mean, listen, Wednesday, they play Wednesday the 30th against Minnesota. And then the trade, they have a day off on Thursday, and that's the trade deadline. And that's it. That is four games from now. Worst case scenario is that they're two games over 500. Best case scenario, they are 10 games over 500. Is the front office going to act accordingly? Have they still not quite decided yet whether or not they want to invest in this team? It doesn't seem like they have. It seems like they're very content with the team as it is. And you can spin that one of two ways. They think it's a team worth investing in, but they don't want to go out there and make a trade for someone when they have a perfectly good first base platoon or second base platoon or number three starter or whatever it is that you think that they need. Okay. That's one way of putting it, I guess. And yeah, lately, not these last eight games, but before that, they were playing great. And everyone wanted the good times to keep on rolling. But unfortunately, the All-Star break came and went, and since then, they've looked awfully human. Human to the point where I wonder if a 10-game win streak was maybe a little tiny bit of a mirage. Not that it was phony, but that it was something that happens with a streaky team at some point in the year, you know? I mean, it was against some pretty lousy opponents for the most part, not all of them, but, you know, six of those 10 games were against Colorado and Washington. And sweeping the Rays is no small thing, so I don't want to just dismiss that. But have you seen any semblance of them carrying that over into the second half? I haven't. Against good teams? No, sure. It's been good teams that they've played. Their offense has gone in the tank. They're not losing, and, you know, just by a different thing each night. That was a problem earlier on in the year. It was always something different. The starters would implode. The bullpen would implode. The offense would go in the tank. It's the offense right now. The offense is a problem. And I just wonder if they're going to be confident enough and comfortable enough with their with the guys in that lineup right now that they decide, yeah, no, we're good. This is going to work for us here. We're going to be able to win and go deep into a playoff run with these guys, different lineups every night, tons of pinch hitters mixing and matching all around. You know, like this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it all year. I don't know. I feel like the trade deadline's when you address stuff like that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, Christian. Look,
hey, Ralph.
Coming into this season, I think they made some really good moves. I mean, you picked up a number one starter in Crochet. You possibly have a defense. You got a catcher possibly in the future. Chapman was a good move. Bregman, if he stays, was a really good move. You know, this team, you know, going forward, yeah, you want to make trades, you want to make moves, absolutely. But I wouldn't get somebody just for now because this team's not going to win it all. It's not going to go that far even if it makes the playoffs. But they've got to play better baseball. I mean, how many catches interference have they had? Look at this. I mean, they played lousy defense. Yeah, this team has to be a better baseball team. I give the coaching staff maybe a D+. For what they've done with this team. They're not consistent. They'll hit one game. They don't hit another game. The lineup is changing every single day. They have to play better baseball. You want to be a better team, you've got to play better fundamental baseball. And that'll make them better right off the bat, you know. But don't chase at the trade deadline. Get something that, going forward, like they've been doing, helps them too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Thanks for the call, Ralph. I just feel like that's giving up on this season, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up on this season. I don't think that the American League is strong enough to justify giving up on this season. Look at the Yankees. Look at the Tigers. The Tigers have lost like 13 out of 14. Yeah, the Tigers are spiraling right now. They got swept by Pittsburgh. Like there's a whole, like Toronto just went on this crazy run. Toronto's not any better than you. The Red Sox should be right there with Toronto. Toronto's not a special team. I remember when the Rays went on that big run earlier on in the year, and I'm watching them going, it's the Rays. They're not that good. Red Sox, you could be doing this. The Yankees, even Houston's like won 4 out of their last 10. Like, they're not playing well. It's wide open in the American League. That's why I want them to be aggressive. That's why I want them to go for it. That's why they should go for it. If they were a million miles away from the teams in their division, or if they were a million miles away from the wild card, okay, you're a wild card team. So what, you know, like, I don't know if they're going to make a deep playoff run. Who's going to stop them? All these teams are flawed. But you know what they're doing and are going to do? They're going to improve at the deadline. Because they're not going to let an opportunity like this slip away with a wide open American League. And you shouldn't. The Yankees recognize it. The Yankees, too, also have to keep up appearances because they were expected to run away with this American League this year. And now here come the Blue Jays just deboing them right now. That's a fan base that it's entitled as Yankee fans already are. I mean, it's even more so because they were in the World Series last year and everyone expected them to just get right back there. And now all year long they've been bitching about Anthony Volpe and, you know, Aaron Boone and sort of everything else, which, you know, it's fine with me. The more turmoil with the Yankees, the better, as far as I'm concerned. But they're already out there making moves. They've already made 2 moves. They've traded for 2 power-hitting infielders, which, Red Sox, you could use one of those. Not that I think they were going to go out and get Ryan McMahon to play third base, but the point is they're active. The Yankees are being proactive. The Mariners are being proactive. I would not be shocked if the Tigers went out and swung some kind of move right now because they are in a free fall. And they know that they have the ability and the pieces in place to make a deep playoff run. They've been the best team in the American League basically all year. They've hit a rough patch now. And what do you think? They're just going to say, nah, we're good. Lost 13 out of 4. Nah, we're fine. We're not going to do anything at the deadline. We don't need any help. Of course they do. I wouldn't be shocked if the Tigers went out and got Suarez. They need help at third base more than almost any team in the league. And there's a bunch of teams that need third basemen. The Tigers were devastated when Alex Bregman signed with the Red Sox and not them. And they just don't have anything really going on at third base. So there's right there. If the Tigers do make a big move and get Suarez, and it'll cost them a lot, but if they believe that they can do something this year in this American League, that's the type of move that you go out and do. That displays a belief in yourself. which the Red Sox and Craig Breslow, I'm sorry, that was a nice 10-game win streak. And it was really nice when they won all those games against the Yankees right before the Devers trade. Those were the only two real high points of the season so far. It's been a season that hasn't been like that. You haven't been the Tigers. You haven't been a team like that. But do you want to be a team like that? Do you want to level up to that tier? Because you're not far off, and the American League is in a bit of a bad way right now. So now's the time to do it. And I would hate to think that they're just kicking the can down the road again another season, Ralph and Cranston. 617-779-7937. Let's try Justin in D.C. before the break. Go ahead, Justin.
Christian, I agree with you, and it's even a step further. The American League is historically weak, and the AL East doesn't have a good team in it. So if you add that into the fact that Breslow, man, has been lying to us for 2 months since trading Devers that this team will be a significant buyer. They have to be a significant buyer because they could get to a World Series with a two and a number in another big bat. But I wanted to quickly have a discussion with you. I heard you defending Breslow earlier in the show, and I just wanted to ask if he has improved the talent markedly on this team from 2 years ago from last year, because I'm not seeing it, and I think the facts point that out.
Okay, I think that his moves in the offseason, I don't know how they had three All-Stars this year, and it was three guys that Breslow acquired in the offseason, so I don't know how you could say that. Like that to me was absolutely an improvement on the roster. It may not be spitting back out more wins than last year, but I think that was absolute. Those were three great moves, I thought.
Well, you were just outlining how historically weak the American League is. They're in the same spot they were the last three or four seasons. And you add Chapman to replace Jansen and Martin, so that's roughly a push. You add Crochet, a big upgrade over Houck, Pivetta, and Crawford. But Houck lost everything from last year, so it's not just adding Crochet. You're taking away an all-star starter. And then the lineup, you lose Tyler O'Neill's production, who was great, and your best hitter in Rafael Devers, and you place him with Bregman, Narvaez, and you also lost any production from Connor Wong. So if I look at this from the standings, from the results, from the fact that this team isn't willing to buy in at the deadline despite a historically weak American League, I just don't see the argument for how Breslow has done anything good, because if you trade away unquestionably the best player on the team for nothing in return, you trade away Quinn Priester, a number three starter, you let Nick Pivetta, a Cy Young talent, walk away in the offseason for a second-round draft pick. I'm not seeing it. The results on the field aren't seeing it. But yet people are saying because they have Crochet and Chapman that he did this great thing. We got to remember, Christian, the Los Angeles Angels had Otani, Trout, Rendon, and they didn't win one playoff game. Building a roster is a complete thing. And I think Breslow's failing, and if he doesn't add, man, shouldn't he be fired for just lying to the fans and sabotaging another season?
Well, thanks for the call, Justin. That was a very good call, very informative, and you had some good data there. I would say this. Tyler O'Neill, you see his numbers this year? Like, I'm okay with having Bregman as an upgrade from Tyler O'Neill. And I know that there were other places where I didn't cry when Nick Pivetta walked. I don't think anybody did. They put out a qualifying offer, and Pivetta signed with the Phillies, and I think we all were okay with that. And he's having this great year. It was sort of like the Chris Sale thing. No one was upset when they traded Chris Sale. It was like we were all done with Chris Sale. And now he had this good year in Atlanta, and everyone was upset about it. But at the time, it was very justifiable. As far as the Devers trade, I don't include that in the offseason. That's an in-season thing, so I'll give him at least until the deadline to make up for that. But you're right. If they trade Devers and then don't do anything substantial at the deadline, then you have every right to be ripped about it. And do I think he's going to get fired? My answer to that is no. He's not going to get fired for lying to the fans, because those are lies on behalf of ownership. And if he's out there being a meat shield for ownership, then that's probably exactly what they want. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Justin, call back anytime. Good call. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and reconvene. I have some thoughts on the Dodgers. I have a thought on Shohei Ohtani, and we were talking about Garrett Crochet. I think it's time to start discussing him in the conversation with some of the, I don't want to say the greatest of all time Red Sox pitchers, but if he keeps it up, if he keeps it on this track, he's already stepping in that direction. So we'll discuss that with your phone calls at 617-779-7937. 93.7 right after this. How about Garrett Crochet? How about him? Even when he doesn't have a good start, he's great. Even when he's not great, he's great. That's sort of where we're at right now with this guy. It's Christian Arcan. Phone number 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your phone calls in just a moment. I was looking at Garrett Crochet's contract, and he has a salary increase for these 5 years. It starts in 2027 through 2031. That's five seasons there, which he's pitching now on the old contract. Next year, the extension kicks in at about $25 million. And then the rest of the years, it's 28.6. His final season here will be 30.6, but in all those other years, at 28.6, his salary can increase if he finishes top 10 in MVP voting, which I thought was interesting because pitchers don't win MVP. You know, like, I don't even think there's a pitcher anywhere in the odds for MVP. I'm looking right now. Yeah, there's no pitcher even on the list. Oh, no, I guess Scooble's up there. Sorry, Scooble's up there. He's the only one. And Scooble is number three. It goes Judge, Raleigh, Scooble, Jose Ramirez, Bobby Witt, Buxton. That kid Kurtz from the A's who had that unbelievable game. Oh, was that something? 6-for-6 with four home runs. I think that's the best. Is that the best game anyone's ever had? I think it is, right? I didn't do a deep dive into this because I wasn't planning on talking about it, but that was awesome. That was awesome. Kurtz, Riley Green, Jeremy Pena, Junior Caminero, Corey Seager, Sidon Rafaela. Number 12, Vlad Guerrero, Gunnar Henderson, Mike Trout is the top 15. So no Crochet anywhere on that list, which I think is interesting. Tarek Skubal is third and Crochet is nowhere. That's interesting. But I was thinking about Crochet and as I was watching him pitch last night and what he has the potential to be. He's here for at least another six seasons. At least, hopefully longer than that, but he's here locked up for the next 6 years. I suppose they could always trade him or something or, you know, whatever, but I don't think that's happening. And for these next 6 years, what do you have in Garrett Crochet? I think we are learning now, and I hope I don't jinx him by saying this, but I think we're learning right now that any fear that you may have had about him and his innings and his arm and fatigue and what have you, Garrett Crochet is 26 years old. And he has not shown, I don't think, any signs of that being a factor at all. I haven't seen any reason to believe that his arm's getting worn out or that the innings are too much for him or that he needs to be kept on a strict pitch count, any of that stuff. And maybe that's just me projecting what I'm looking at because he looks like this guy who just wants to go out there and throw and he'll strike you out no matter what. And, you know, here we go. And I know he had a tough first inning yesterday. Ohtani greeted him with a nice dinger, which I want to have some thoughts on Ohtani, too. But right now with Crochet, I think it's pretty clear that you have a superstar ace of your rotation. Now, what does that mean in terms of becoming a World Series contender? Well, it's vitally important, first of all. It's not the only thing you need, but if you want to be taken seriously as an actual championship contender, having a guy like Garrett Crochet gives you that kind of credibility right away. And I'm prepared to say, after however many starts he's made, 18 starts, whatever it is, I'm prepared to say that he's that guy. And we were all ready to say this probably in April, let's be honest now. But he's put together a season that, you know, 12-4 with his ERA, you can be proud of that. You can look at that and say, this is a guy who should be in the MVP conversation, more so than Sidon Rafaela. Who's been more important to the Red Sox this year, Crochet or Rafaela? Not close. Not close. And that's not to say that Rafaela hasn't been important, but I mean, come on. And it all depends also on how you discuss, how you want to characterize the most valuable player. And I know that a lot of times it just gets sort of bastardized and you're talking about, you know, the best player on the best team, but not the most important player on the team or the important player on any team in the league. It becomes a popularity contest. There's voter fatigue. It happens in all sports. I understand that. And this isn't really even about Crochet finishing as an MVP, but it's, can he be John Lester? Is he already something more than John Lester, or can he be something more than John Lester? I think he has the talent and ability to be better than John Lester, greater than Lester. Can he be Roger Clemens? Does he have that kind of ceiling? Does he have a Roger Clemens type ceiling? I'd say probably not. But that's a very high ceiling. Pedro Martinez, does he have that kind of ceiling? I'm not going to jump that far out ahead. But as far as Lester, maybe even a Chris Sale or a David Price, I think he can be better here than David Price was, and David Price won a World Series here. I think he can be better than Chris Sale was here. I think he can be better than John Lester was here. I think he has all the tools to be that. And watching him pitch last night against a very tough Dodgers team that jumped on him early, and for him to settle down and strike out 10 guys after that, I think is just a real testament to his ability to bear down, even against the very good teams in baseball. And when they need a win, he goes out there and he delivers one. That's what you need. And to see that impact that a guy like Crochet is having and not want to replicate it at the trade deadline, I just think is crazy. I just think that's crazy. Now, you're not going to replicate Garrett Crochet. You're not going to be able to go out and sign a, you know, carbon copy of Garrett Crochet or trade for a carbon copy of Garrett Crochet. But shouldn't you pull out all the stops to try and do the best you can to get to that point? Because here you go. It's working. It's working out great. It's really made a huge difference. And without him, I think you're probably one of those teams selling off pieces this year. You waited till the right time to make the deal. You didn't trade Anthony or Meyer. You ended up trading a catching prospect. And, you know, it worked out great. It's worked out great for the Boston Red Sox. The Garrett Crochet trade and extension have been tremendous. But I don't understand how you can look at it as a one-off and say, yeah, that was a really good move. Good job, everybody. All right, back to the old way. Back to market efficiencies. Back to this, back to that. Don't you see how well that worked? Don't you see how positive that was? So do it again. Go out and find another Crochet. Not another Crochet, but go out and be bold. Go out and strike while the iron's hot and while you have an opportunity here. If it's a rental, it's a rental. Oh, well. Then you take the rental and you extend them if you want to. But go out and get the talent. Bring in the talent. And stop worrying so much about what's efficient. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I have some thoughts on this Dodgers team that has given the Red Sox a very exciting series here so far. Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and the guy pitching for the Red Sox tonight, Walker Buehler. Last chance to call in before the game at 617-779-7937. So jump on, grab a phone line. I'll get to your calls and wrap things up next here on the Christian Arcand Show. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. Sunday Mass, Reverend Arcand, and then we'll hand it over to Joe Weil over at Fenway. Red Sox baseball coming your way, starting with the Mass Mutual pregame show, which will get underway here in about 10 minutes or so. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. Our good friend Wally is in Fall River. Hi, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, Christian? That kid Kurtz from Oakland, what a game he had. He just missed 5 home runs by a foot. I think he got a double, but I think Ohtani had a 10 RBI 3 homer game last year. But as far as our Red Sox, I don't trust Craig Breslow. You got 4 days left. I mean, teams are already making deals. I really don't think he wants to trade Jaron Duran. I mean, you're going to have to pick up a right-handed bat somehow. But I just hope he doesn't disappoint us. Otherwise, like you said, this division is wide open. The American League, they still have a good shot, but he's got to do things. He can't sit on his hands again and wait for things to happen.
No, I agree with you, Wally, and thanks for the call. Always good to hear from Wally in Fall River, and you're right. I mean, sitting on your hands now is basically admitting that you were kind of full of crap all this time because other teams are making moves. And if they've sworn that they're not going to, you know, pay for a rental, then okay, but then don't ever tell us again about how committed you are and how much urgency there is to win and for Fenway to be electric with a playoff series or whatever. Here's the thing. This is a good series right now. This series with the Dodgers, way too many Dodgers fans in Boston. Way too many. I mean, entirely too many. Kind of embarrassing, Red Sox fans. They were here 2 years ago, and I would have thought that would have been enough to wake everybody. Okay, we're not letting this happen again. Red Sox, Dodgers, we're buying those tickets, and we're not just selling them to any schmuck from Los Angeles who's in town for the weekend and wants to try clam chowder for the first time. No. You want to get in here, yeah, just get some fans in here, but you're not taking over the place. Alex Cora, after the game, he's like, I never heard anything like that before. 2 years ago when they had their parade down Lansdowne Street, I had never seen anything like that in Boston before for an opposing fan base in a regular season series. That was remarkable. And it's not come to that, okay? So it's not that bad. But it's still pretty bad. Jaren Duran, by the way, that was his 200th career extra base hit, that triple in the sixth inning. He's reached safely in 19 of his last 21 games since almost a full month ago. Back on June 29th, he's batting .292 with a .1053 OPS. His numbers for the year aren't really close to that, but that's what he's doing right now, which I got to think is boosting his trade value. Now, you may not want to trade him. You may think Jaren Duran should be off limits. He's leading the team in hits. I mean, he's an important part of this team, no question about it. But he is a .260 hitter with a .768 OPS. He has 9 home runs and 55 RBI. Like, you're not talking about an MVP candidate here. He's probably, out of everyone in that outfield, there's a reason why his name comes up the most. Sedan Rafaela is not going to get traded here at this deadline. Roman Anthony's not going to get traded at this deadline. Willy Abreu might. But Willy Abreu has an .808 OPS, has 20 home runs. He's a gold glover. And Rob Refsnyder's the only righty, so you can't trade him. You know what I mean? Like this, it's not ideal, but it is the roster that you have, and it's a roster that can be amended. And listen, Rafaela playing in the infield now that Marcelo Meyer's injured is a nice thing to be able to do, but is that a long-term fix? Is that how we're going to run the team for the rest of the year? So now Rafaela's your everyday second baseman? And Meyer maybe isn't coming back, and if he does, then too bad. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that really solves anything. If they were waiting for some injury to prevent them from making a trade, how ass backwards is that? You make a trade because of an injury. We got to replace our injured player. They're not looking at it that way. They're looking at it like, oh, someone got injured. That means we can move one of our outfielders to the infield, and now we don't have to make it. Now we don't have to trade anybody. Hooray! It all worked itself out. Like, no. That's not what you do. Like, that's ridiculous. That's a small market type of thing, but it's not even, because small market teams don't have 5 good outfielders, you know? Like, Passan was really nailed it when he said that the Red Sox operate like a big market team in a funhouse mirror. That's what they are. That's what this is. This is funhouse mirror type stuff. Oh, well, Meyer, their third baseman or their utility infielder, is injured. So I guess that means instead of trading one of our outfielders to improve the pitching staff, we'll leave the pitching staff exactly how it is, move an outfielder to the infield, and hooray, everything's magically fixed. Like, no, not at all. Not at all. Have you cleared up the outfield logjam a little bit? Yeah, I guess. But is that really some big victory here? I mean, what's a bigger victory? Keeping Jaren Duran come hell or high water, or improving the starting rotation? Like, what's a bigger victory, Red Sox fans? What do you think is going to be better for them this season, going into the playoffs, going into August and September? And again, I like Jaren Duran too. I think he's a good player, and he's playing great right now. And if I thought that this rotation and pitching staff was good enough, that they didn't need to make a significant upgrade here to be an actual championship contender, then I'd say fine, keep him. Trade somebody else. Or you know what? Don't trade anyone and let Corey keep on mixing and matching. But I don't feel that way. And I don't think you feel that way. And I don't think the players on the team feel that way either. As much as they may love Jaren Duran or Abreu or whoever else, I don't think they feel that way either. And they haven't felt that way for a couple of years. Because at the deadline, these last couple of years, the Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, Craig Breslow, whoever, have not really done much to buttress this team. And the team reflected that on the field. 100% these last 3 seasons. Go back and look at the August and September records. Look at it last year. Last year, that team was 10 games over .500 going into the All-Star break. 10. This team's never 10 games over .500. And they looked at that team and said, nope, not the right time. Nah, market's too inefficient. Nah, this doesn't spit out a positive net return for us. So we're going to just have to kick it down the road the next year. And, you know, these last 2 years, it was more believable. That type of talk was more believable because you had these 3 prospects who hadn't touched the majors yet. Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, who everyone promised were going to be these great plug-and-play guys. Some of them have been, by the way. I mean, listen, Campbell obviously hasn't, but, you know, Meyer's been good. Anthony's had some struggles, but they've been fine. You know, they've been, when they played well, those guys have been a big part of why they played well. But they're at the major league level now. They're playing on the team. They're in Boston. They're not in Worcester. So if you want to keep giving us this, well, it's not the right time. Well, when's the right time? I understand that wanting to trade away your big stud prospects. You didn't. They're still here. They're playing in the majors now. And they're playing with the veterans. And it's not going perfectly by any means, but you're a wild card team. You are right now currently a playoff team. Right now, today. And that seems like all of the evidence anyone would need to determine that this is a team you should add to. And you should reach into your farm system, find a good match for you and for whatever other team is out there. And you're probably, if you can't get this thing done with the Padres, then you're probably going to have to go to a team like the Pirates or the Orioles or one of these awful teams and get ripped off by them, because that's the way it works. If it's a rental, maybe not. You know, maybe you can afford to swing a couple of prospects for a rental and not have it hurt you that bad. But if you want to get someone with term, then you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to get ripped off. And I just don't think that they are willing to do that. And if it's because they don't think this year is the right year, then I have to question when that time is going to be. When is it going to be? And why should we ever believe that there is going to be a right time? If a year like this year, where not only is it the right time, just objectively, but you've also been telling us for the last however long, months, but 2 months. Yeah, no, we're invested in this team. We're going for it at the deadline. We will make bold moves. We'll do whatever we have to do to keep it going. And so far, all you've done is trade Rafael Devers for a mediocre relief pitcher and a pitching prospect who is getting lit up in the minors and a couple of guys in rookie ball. Okay? So, sorry if I'm not going to just blindly believe that. I don't think anybody should. I think you'd be crazy to just believe what these guys tell you. I don't think. And it's not so much even that they're being deceitful. I think plans change. I think they kind of ride the waves. They see which way the wind's blowing and they sort of go with it. And then they realize, okay, you know, if this isn't going to work out, then we may as well just pack her in. Yeah, we got our gate receipts. Yeah, things aren't going great for this team, but look at all these fans packing the stadium. Dodgers blue. You know, like you start thinking that way. And if another deadline comes and goes, I don't know another way you can think of it. And I just hope that doesn't happen. I hope Passan's wrong. I hope McAdam to an extent is wrong. I hope Spears wrong. I hope they're all wrong. And that the Red Sox knock our socks off. But first, you got to beat the Dodgers. Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Wiles coming up next. I'm Christian Arcan. I'll talk to you on Monday. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.